The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, May 2nd, 2021. And thank you for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. And I also want to give thanks to my right-hand person in the chat room who has joined us tonight, Joan. So let's give everybody some thank you applause. Yes. Okay. As always, tonight's show contains spoilers up and through the last episode last week and possible information that came from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Okay, welcome to Fear the Walking Dead, Season 6, Episode 11. Fear continues the back half of Season 6 up through June 6. There are 5 more episodes until the Season 6 finale. World Beyond Season 2 is still currently slated to air sometime in late 2021. I have a slight bit of data, so here's how it goes. So we don't technically have any press release other than later in 2021. Now let's do some math based on how these shows traditionally have gone, even with some of the new data we have. So this show is going to run to June 6th, including June 6th. So the next Sunday evening that will be available for anything will be June 13th. So that's the first potential slot that World Beyond could run. And there's 10 episodes in Season 2, as was Season 1. So this would take us to August 15th. Now, here's some new cookies for you guys. The Walking Dead Classic Season 11 has announced officially that they are returning on August 22nd. That's the following weekend. So we are either looking at what I just predicted, mid-June, or else a very late fall after the Walking Dead Classic. But see, we don't know how many episodes are going to run before they take hiatus. And we don't know if anything's going to run concurrently like they did in 2020, where they had like two things going on together. So we're not really quite sure how that's going to work necessarily. But it stands to reason if they've locked into announcing August 22nd and we can count 10 weekends from the end of Fear, it fits in just exactly so. So they have not announced this whatsoever, but you heard it first on the Fear of the Walking Dead online viewing party. I predict that World Beyond is going to premiere on June 13th, and then it'll run its 10 episodes, and then we will go to Walking Dead Classic Season 11. I'm not sure how long that'll go for because it's all weird. They have 24 episodes in that season. Okay. Also, the fourth series coming to a spinoff is the Carol and Daryl thing, and they did say this. The Walking Dead fans have a while to wait for the as-yet-untitled sequel. The show currently has a release date in 2023. Remember I said it was 22 or 23. They're being more definite. It's 23 now. The reason why the series is not coming to AMC for 3 years, the article's from late 2020, is that the show will air after the original Walking Dead has ended, and we've got to give time for all 24 episodes. That show will end after our bumper 24-episode final season, plus a bunch of bonus season 10 episodes. Well, that's already happened, but it happened after this article was written. So those will air across 2021 and late 2022, with Daryl and Carol returning a few months later. So Daryl and Carol are kind of having a Cold War right now, and we haven't had Season 11 yet, and all this has to take place before the Carol and Daryl show. So, good news, and Joan will be excited to hear this, as was I. The showrunner for the Carol and Daryl show, whatever it ends up being, is going to be Angela Kang, so it's going to be very cool. I'm super happy about that. In fact, I'm so happy. Let's give some applause and say yay. Also, what I'm going to do is I had the article that I got this stuff from And I'm going to pull it up and read it to you guys real quick. We've got time. This is before we're doing the synopsis, so I got to switch around my links just a tiny bit. But this was back in September 2020. It was from Newsweek by a guy named Samuel Spencer that's not one of our normal sources, but he wrote up a thing called The Walking Dead, Daryl Carroll spinoff release, date cast, trailer plot. All right, I'm going to check in the chat room real quick, see what Joan has got to say. Yep, I called it. Oh, thank God, Angela Kang, yes. So at least we know that the Carol and Daryl show is going to be probably pretty solid. Chances are high. All right, so here is the article from Newsweek and what Samuel Spencer has to say about it. So he says, The Walking Dead is getting a number of new spinoffs in the coming years, but the one that's got fans most excited is starring two of the OG cast members of the AMC show. Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride will move to a new sequel, which will have a plot centered around Daryl Dixon and Carol Pelletier, which has a release date set for after the original series ends. All right, and then they say, when will The Walking Dead Daryl Carol spinoff come out? And the article says, The Walking Dead fans have a while to wait for the as-yet-untitled sequel. The show currently has a release date in 2023. And I read you this earlier that it's because they want everything in The Walking Dead Classic to be over. All right, so the only two confirmed stars in the Daryl and Carol sequel are Norman and Melissa. However, I'm skipping down just a bit because I mentioned Angela. I already told you about Angela. Well, here's a quote from Norman, but there's some more news further down the article, so give me just a second. All right, so Norman says, I feel incredibly honored to be a part of The Walking Dead. This show changed my life and career, and everyone involved has truly been a family for me over the last decade. I'm thankful for AMC's love and support and know there's so much more story to tell and so much more to bring the best fans in the world. Daryl's relationship with Carol has always been my favorite relationship on the show. Sorry, Rick. I love the way these characters interact and relate to each other on so many levels. I can't wait to see where their ride goes from here. Ha, I see what you did, Norman. Very cute. McBride, meanwhile, said, Of course, I've always enjoyed working so closely with Norman throughout these many seasons. In playing Carol and as a viewer of the show, I've also long been intrigued with Daryl and Carol and by what so early on between them, even then, felt somehow bound. Their shared history is long. This is still a quote. And each his own personal fight to survive even longer. The most obvious aspect of what has kept them close and loyal. But there is also a rather mysterious aspect to their fondness for one another that I enjoy and their playfulness when the world permits. I'm very curious. Angela has a way of shaking things up in great and unexpected ways. She's like a kid playing with a dimmer switch. I'm very excited. End quote. So far, no other cast members have been announced, but the show is expected to feature a couple new faces who are likely to be announced when casting begins for the show once season 11 of Walking Dead Classic goes into production. I'm looking down the article to see. I saw something mentioned, but it wasn't in this article. That's why I am slightly confused. That's fine. It may be mentioned somewhere else, so we shall see. Alrighty, so there is that article. I wanted to give that to you guys while we're talking about the other shows. And then speaking of other shows, the episodic anthology Tales of the Walking Dead, that also has an article. So here we are back to another, that may be the one that mentioned it. Let me see. Let me pull it up, see what it's going to say. All right. Oh, no, this is just the wiki. And by this, I mean on fandom.com, which is one of my main helpful sources. Yes, this was the place where I got the notes on other possible people. So let me read this to you guys real quick. All right. So this is an article. Let me go ahead and make the comments, and then I'll read you the stuff from the wiki on it, and you'll see what I mean. This is also slated to start in 2023. Scott Gimple says it's possible one episode will feature the full plane crash sequence from World Beyond's pilot episode, Brave. I think that would be interesting. That could be fun. And then Gimple also hinted at, this is probably a spoiler, but official people from the show put it out there. So I'm giving you a chance to pause or go to the bathroom, whatever you want to do, because I'm going to spoil this, because I have not predicted this, but I have predicted something related, and it seems like several people have caused the show to bend. So this is your stalling. 3, 2, 1. Got to run it. Gimple also hinted at Madison Clark from Fear possibly appearing in an episode of Tales of the Walking Dead. Now, this could be a prequel. It could be all that stuff about, are Madison and Rick related? There was a bunch of fan conspiracy theories about it. So we'll see. That could be an episode. I also still think Madison is coming back to Fear, because now everybody's in Dallas tonight, but we shall see. Okay. You can come back now. I'm done ruining. let me see. Okay, those are the only two hints that Scott dropped, so that's fine. We can move on from that. Sorry about the cough drop. I know it's loud. Pardon me. Okay, so typically we start this show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week. I know it's 8:40 now, but I've just been chatty. With recaps from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 o'clock, we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then rate the episode so far from 1 to 10, and give commentary during the commercial breaks. We'll also give our listeners trivia on the show, as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, except for official materials. If the people at AMC, in their infinite wisdom, want to spoil something, they mean for you to know. So we are happy to repeat those. Otherwise, please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air, because we want to talk about the show based on the show that is presented to us. Feel free to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314. You're welcome to call in anytime while we're on the air, but I encourage you, especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. If you call during the live episode after 9, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time, type out your questions, and go back and download the episode after the fact. And we usually post links for that on our Facebook page and occasionally my Twitter, which I had time to get to tonight, so I did. Alrighty. So links and stuff. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or for any of our previous episodes, you can still go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening, or even just listen to it on the website. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. Alright, I'm going to check in the chat room, see if Joan has anything to add, and she does not. So let us continue. Okay. Tonight's episode of Fear is entitled The Holding. Official AMC synopsis is, an infiltration turns rescue mission as members of the group dig deeper into an underground community. And as we often do, I have additional synopses for you guys. I have two this week. Hopefully, neither of them will be very spoilery. I had a little bit of issues with that. Some of my regular sources were not putting stuff out, and some of the new things I was using were too spoilery. So I've had some abortive attempts for stuff at times. All right. Give me just a second. I'm having problems with pop-ups. I usually have a blocker for that, but I had to take it off because reasons. All righty. So this one is from one of our secondary regular sources, bleedingcool.com, and this was written by Ray Fluke, who is their staff writer who does Walking Dead stuff. Alrighty, so this is from April 27th, Fear the Walking Dead, Season 6, Episode 11, Preview, Meet the Believers. They've gone ahead and leaked that. Haven't read the comics, don't actually know anything about it, and Fear isn't in the comics anyway. So I don't know what preconceived stuff there is about these guys, but I don't even know it. So don't bother telling me. All right, following up on a theory from Dakota, Alicia, Al, Luciana, and Wes, no, there's a comma in between. Dakota has the theory, these four head out to infiltrate an underground location that might just offer some answers about the whole the end is the beginning, folks, in this week's episode of Fear of the Walking Dead. Thanks to a pretty sizable preview image drop from AMC on Tuesday, viewers are now getting a look at some of the believers our survivors will be meeting. In previous previews, we met John Glover's Teddy and Nick Stahl's character, who we now know is named Riley. Now, Jessica Parent's Sabrina, Chinaza Uche, I don't know how to pronounce it, and I hope I didn't ruin it. They play Derek, and Dean Neistat's Harvey are also introduced. They have images below, promo, and a sneak preview for the holding. And I'm double-checking, but this site is heavy on the graphics, not so much on the talking, which is why I have two extended synopses for you guys. So that most of that is just pictures, some of which I've shared with you guys when I posted the episode up on NDB Media. All right, so I'm going to go to the other preview, which is from one of our main sources that's usually Old Faithful, comicbook.com, and Cameron Bolomono. This is from the 29th, and Cameron titled this, Fear the Walking Dead Digs into the Holding in Episode 611 Opening Minutes. All right, double-checking with Joan. She did have a comment. Never heard of the Believers, so likely strictly a Fear thing, or at least not from the comics as far as she can remember. I do not believe it's at all from the comics, but talk about the Believers has already leaked, so I'm not sure where people got that from. They got it from somewhere. But at any rate, that is happening tonight. Okay, so Sorry, I lost my place for a hot second. Okay. After Dakota tipped off Morgan about the Subterranean Society targeting the settlements controlled by Jenny, including the spray painter sabotage tank town, where Wes nearly died in the explosive bury her next to Jesper's leg episode, the four will investigate a long buried threat to discover the meaning behind the end is the beginning. In the exclusive opening minutes from the holding, and this has been in some of the promos, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. A recorded message from founder Teddy, who has been in some of the promos entering the back half of season 6, plays on a loop in the converted parking garage where dozens of workers tend to chores, cooking, gardening, mashing walkers into mulch. Ew. Death, destruction, decay. This is a quote. What is happening to the world isn't new, says Teddy's pre-recorded message. The world's been breaking down since its inception. The sun spending its nuclear fuel, spinning further and further off its axis, the continents drifting apart, ice sheets receding and melting, forests sweltering and burning. Everything's winding down, including us. Death is inevitable. It simply is, Teddy goes on to say. But from this death comes new life. People up above, quote, see death everywhere they gaze, but that's not what's really there. If they looked hard enough, if they truly looked with open eyes, they would see life. But it's not their fault they don't know how to open their eyes. It's not their fault they're seeing the way they always have, end quote. All right. He preaches some more, quote, even after it all, even though now is the after, we all know the truth, they don't. We can see. They can't. So it's incumbent upon us to help them be unafraid of what's to come. Do you know the truth? Can you see? Can you help them be unafraid? The clip ends with Riley welcoming the group to the holding, where life will begin again. As pointed out by a mural that catches Wes's eye, the end is the beginning. Quote, one thing we're going to see in the back half of the season is there's still a looming threat out there, which are these people that are spray painting. the end is the beginning. Fear's co-showrunner Ian Goldberg told Entertainment Weekly earlier in season six, quote, "The people who took out Tanktown, the ones who were spray painting the sub in 601, that group is going to rise to the forefront in a really dramatic way in the back half. And it's going to really test our fractured family of characters because they're going to have to find a way to reckon with that threat." Goldberg added, "And yes, they're in a place where they're not unified. And that's just going to make it all the more interesting." That's not the word I would have picked, Ian, but whatever. "When they're facing a threat that we'll see is just as formidable, if not more so, than Virginia." I'm sure Joan is making a face right now because I'm making a face. Virginia should not have ever been the threat that she was forced to be seen as in Fear. She hadn't earned it. She really should have been shot about three episodes in. And like a few other people in here, I have no idea why people follow what she says. Like, there was a moment at one point where she didn't have a bunch of goons enforcing her crazy crap. So why did the goons start doing so? This is not from the article. This is me kvetching. Mostly because we're at the end of the article and it kind of trails off. All right, let me check the chat room. Joan does have some additional comments. Let's see what she has to say. She says, "If they're villains, let's hope they're more worthy than Jenny." Yeah. "Unfortunately, I don't have much faith in the showrunners to really give us decent villains or characters for that matter, but we'll see." Making a face, rolling the eyes, groaning, all of the above. Yeah, I understand, Joan. I totally understand. Okay, that is the end of the extended synopsis. I do have one other article to read to you guys, and the reason I am reading it is it's kind of legally important, and I know that sounds weird, and I'll get right to explaining that. So this is some important news, not about the story, but about the show itself as a business and a property. So this is a quote. "On another level, The Walking Dead will be heading into its final stretch as AMC finally heads to trial in April 2021 against show creator and original showrunner Frank Darabont and CAA in the latter's 2013 launched $300 million profit participation lawsuit against the cabler. While that COVID-19 postponed trial inches closer," well, it inched, and I'll get to that in a second, "AMC scored a big legal win earlier this summer in another profit participation dust-up with Kirkman and other Walking Dead EPs." I'm not sure what EPs are. Executive producers, probably. "After a mini-trial in March, LA Superior Court Judge Daniel Buckley determined on July 22nd, I assume 2020, that if Kirkman didn't like the, quote, plain language deal he inked years ago and the resulting modified adjusted gross receipts, that's in caps, and imputed license fees, that was his problem, not AMC's. The lawsuit was slated for an April 2021 court date and has now been postponed to 2022. And I bring it up as show news, and also I'm wondering if this is a tiny portion of the disruption above and beyond what other shows have been going through because of COVID. I'm wondering if this has a teensy bit to do with it as well. And I am looking for, I pasted you part of the article, so I'm skipping down. The article is dated April 13th, and, okay, all right, so here's some updates of things. In December, Judge Joel M. Cohen dismissed Darabont's breach of contract claim in relation to product integration revenue, finding there's no interpretation of their agreements that would entitle him to a share of that money, but denied the rest of AMC's motion for summary judgment. This order replaced an April 2020 decision. So this is December 2020. On Tuesday, and I assume that's the Tuesday before April 13th, and I don't have a calendar, so I don't know what date. Figure it out. The appellate panel unanimously reversed Cohen's decision and granted AMC's motion, which means another of Darabont's claims won't move forward to trial. Plaintiffs claim that AMC breached the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing by crafting the formula for MAGR arbitrarily, irrationally, or in bad faith, was improperly asserted for the first time in opposition to defendant's motion for summary judgment. That's a giant quote. States the order, which is embedded below, and there's a graphic with the order, but I'm not going to read you guys all this legalese crap. It's 8:55, and I want to get to the show stuff. Basically, they're still fighting, and it's going to have to go into next year because delays and stuff, and it may affect the show and screw things up. That's all you need to know. There you go. All right. Jonah has not added anything. I do have lots of other stuff to tell you guys, but we have 5 minutes before we go dark. I'm going to begin the writers and directors' profiles, but we will not complete this before we go dark, so let's begin. Tonight's episode is written by Channing Powell and is directed by K.C. Colwell, C-O-L-W-E-L-L. All right, Elizabeth Channing Powell is from Easton, Maryland, not Eastern, but Easton, it's a town, and her husband is from McLean, Virginia. Powell graduated from Williams College with a bachelor's degree in film production, and she's been married to Jonathan Edwards Silverow since October of 2010. Her wedding to Dr. Silverow was officiated by retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Just trivia. She got her start in the industry as an assistant on the television series White Collar. While she was there, she made her way up the ranks until she was staffed as a writer and eventually gained credits as an executive story editor. She is a producer and writer now, known for The Walking Dead, White Collar, and Good News Oklahoma from 2011. I have a couple minutes. I might be able to finish hers. Powell was a co-producer, co-executive producer, or consulting producer, one of the four titles for 96 episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with season 4, episode 1, 30 Days Without an Accident. And that was in 2013. All the way up to season 9, episode 16, The Storm. She has been a consulting producer for all of Fear, season 6. She's written 18 prior Walking Dead episodes, Walking Dead Classic, starting with season 4, episode 5, Interment, in 2013, up to season 10, episode 14, Look at the Flowers, which is one where we first meet Princess. Writing tonight's episode is Powell's first work in the Fear part of the Walking Dead franchise. So now she has written for the two main franchises. There's not a lot of people who cross over, so I wanted to point that out. It's now 8:58, so I am going to pause this here and set this up. And Joan has not added anything else. So I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and go dark and get ready to watch tonight's episode, and then I will see you guys at commercial break number one. Thanks for joining us. Okay, it's 9:04, and we're already at commercial break number one. Joan is like, okay, I get the whole circle of life thing, she says, but didn't really need to see it in action. Oh, I don't know. It's fine. And then she says, heard of what? I sent a new name for the list. I don't know what they said, heard of. Heard of a new noun? And it's not H-E-A-R-D. For those of you who are just listening and not seeing this in writing, it's H-E-R-D. Apparently there was a new noun. Joan is starting off her rating with a 4.5. Wow. I can't recall the last time I started below a 5. But I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about it. They have a lot of wasted electricity going on down there. And I'm dying of curiosity how it's functioning if they're ruining everybody else's power sources and whatnot. You know what? This is killing me. You know what? I'm gonna go down to 4.75 because that's almost 5. It's not too far. But this is short and uninspiring. And I don't know why it needed to be short. That was kind of dumb. So, all right, vaccinate the block. This is our blog. I don't know what that's advertising. She's going to go back and rewatch that to catch what the word was. Recruits being rescued from a herd of apostrophe posters. And I don't know what that's supposed to represent. Because it wouldn't be like imposters, because then they would have said posters, not posters. Super weird. Okay, I'm not sure what's up with that. We do have another commercial, so let me go back and start the other profile. Our director tonight is Casey Colwell. Casey Colwell is an assistant director known for What Women Want in 2000, Deep Impact in 98, and The Wolverine in 2013. He went to DeLand High School and is from DeLand, Florida. He received a bachelor's in dramatic criticism from Stetson University in Florida in 77. He got his master's in theater from UNC Chapel Hill in 79. And currently lives in La Verne, California, and is married to Sue Green Colwell. He has two daughters and two sons. There's an AMC Plus trailer commercial thing going on, so we probably don't have too much more time. I'm stalling because I think we're going to go back. And we are back, so I'll see you guys at break number two. Okay, guys, it's 9:16. We're at break number two, and Joan's going to stay at 4:05. I'm going up to 5, but, you know, it's a drag up to 5. But I do find this new development mildly interesting, and I'm actually kind of wondering. I have notes, and I already knew this was coming. I just didn't know when. Let me catch you guys up with some of Joan and my comments. Joan had said earlier, if I had to listen to that preaching all the time, I'd probably join the dead sooner rather than later. And I'm getting aggravated with the whole composting the walkers because the show is ruining its own mythos. Because we had this well established when we've had the walkers in the well at Maggie's house at the farm. We did confirm that the new nickname for walkers is posters, but we didn't get an answer as to why. It doesn't make sense. And I'm not happy with this new development. Walkers in the soil should be making them sick. And I don't get the impression that they're doing anything about it. So I'm getting angry that they're screwing their own mythos up. And Jonah said, Jesus Christ, the cult and cult leader is the best they could come up with for a new villain. You know what? I don't like the concept that we have to constantly have a stream of new villains. We could have problems and things, plots, and there's plenty of things to deal with that are not the new bad guy asshole who still gets followers of the week. It's not necessary. All right, 9:18, and we're in commercials for Jared, so let me go back and finish Casey Colwell's bio. All right, Casey has 81 second unit director or assistant director credits since 1982. Among his work in that capacity is Dukes of Hazzard, Commando, Heat, Jumpin' Jack Flash, My Sister Sam, Predator, Beetlejuice, Tales from the Crypt, 90, Benny and June, Diabolique, Deep Impact, 10 Things I Hate About You, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Miss Congeniality 2, The Mist, I believe the remake, and The Mummy 2017. He's also currently testing director at Car and Driver magazine. He has been a member of the Directors Guild of America since 1980. Colwell has been first assistant director for 17 episodes of The Walking Dead Classic from 2010 to 17, and first assistant director for 19 episodes of Fear from 2018 to present. Tonight is his second primary director's credit for any show listed in IMDb, both of which were episodes of Fear. His first show directed was Fear Season 5, Episode 11, You're Still Here. And let's give him some appreciation and applause. And we have advertisements for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I've been watching that and catching up with it. It's very interesting stuff. But that's not on AMC, so I'm surprised to see it here. But okay. Jones says, I found it interesting the original series did it with Negan and the Saviors. This feels like a poor attempt to borrow from that and give it just enough of a twist to say it's different. Yeah. I'm kind of wondering. There's also little tiny shades of the governor. But here's the thing, though. Some of the stuff that they're up to is the inevitable things people are going to try out in a situation like this. So I'm okay with some duplication, but I just don't think we need to have a constant, conveniently timed and spaced out stream of villains. All right, we are back. Let's fuss about it at break number three. Well, that was another big chunk. It's 9:29, and we're just at break number three. I am... I'm staying at five. Joan's going to creep up to 4.75. You know, honestly, so far this show is rehashes of unnecessary plots from both shows that don't need to be done again. There's nothing compelling. Teddy is just creepy. Whatever. Did the show come back on for me? Yeah, eventually. I was telling Joan when we went to the back from the commercial break a little while ago, the first couple minutes of the show were interrupted by a live child abduction alert. So I missed a tiny bit, but nothing really critical. I saw most of what was going on. Joan is like more lazy writing, fussing. And Joan and I both concluded we do not need a constant string of new villains that aren't already dead. The dead is enough of a challenge. The show is The Walking Dead. Fear The Walking Dead. Not eat The Walking Dead. They eat you, or you try to keep them from eating you. This is just unnecessary and unlikely also. Like, how do all these villains space it out? I know that it would be plot-wise, it would be, for the audience, very annoying to have, like, four villains going on at once, but at least they hinted on that in The Walking Dead Classic at times. All right, we're still in a commercial, so let me see what else I've got in my notes for you guys. Okay, we finished Casey Cola's bio, and we're up to trivia about tonight's episode. So tonight's episode is the 80th episode of Fear overall. The first appearance of the character Sabrina, and I'll get to the actor in a minute because she's listed as a co-star, oddly. Okay, we're not back. I thought this might be the show. First appearance of the character Riley, who's a member of the Doomsday Cult, the Believers. Tonight is the character's first appearance, played by Nick Stahl. That's the guy that was talking to a lot of people coming in. First appearance of Derek, cult member played by Chinaza Uche, Wes's brother. Quote, he died at the beginning. Nothing melodramatic, no great story, just went out to get some condensed milk one day. Didn't see an eater coming, and that was that. This is what Wes told Alicia about Derek's presumed death. We are still in commercials, so going to keep going. First appearance of the character Harvey. We'll also get to that below. First appearance of Teddy, cult leader, played by John Glover, who was also Lionel Luther from Smallville, is where I know him from. He's done some other stuff, too. The title of the episode, The Holding, refers to the underground bunker that the Doomsday Cult is based in. As a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, production had to limit the number of background extras on set. So in an attempt to depict a large population in The Holding, production filmed background extras in different outfits to represent more than one character and spliced together scenes to show as if more people were present for the scene than there were in reality. Co-stars tonight, Dean Neistat plays Harvey, one of the members of the Doomsday Cult. Tonight is his first appearance. Actress Jessica Perrin is Sabrina, also a believer. Tonight is her first appearance. And Sarah Denko is worker number two, a.k.a. cultist number three. Tonight is her first appearance. All right, and we have an AMC trailer for something. I wonder if it's Gangs of London again. Yep. Gangs of London is always, like, just as bad as Walking Dead, but no walkers. All right, so we'll probably be back in a hot second. Uncredited is nobody. Deaths won't be announced until the show's over. So then we are down to trivia from last episode, and we're back. So I'll see you guys at break number 4. Thanks. All right. Staying at 5. Just a repeat of last week. Staying at 5. Jonah's at 4.75. Yeah, it's 9:40. We're break number 4. Joan had mentioned the whole Brother Derek thing is alive, feels forced to. She remembers when Wes told Alicia about him. It definitely gave the impression that Wes saw his brother die or saw him bitten. Now they're just saying he assumed he was bit. It's possible. I'd be willing to let that go if it weren't for, like, a bunch of other stuff that is compelling about being annoyed with us. I had worried Wes was a mole, actually, that he had known about them all this time, and he lied about Derek being dead. Turns out that wasn't what was happening, but that would have been a very interesting plot twist that hasn't been done to death. Joan says, want to place bets on how long Wes is going to live if he keeps spouting off like this to his brother? Yeah, I'm a little worried about that, to be honest. And he's given away way too much info, Joan says. And she's still 4.75. I'm at 5. It's 9:41, and we are on a break, and there's a commercial. So let's go back to the notes and see trivia from last episode, Handle with Care, episode 10. This episode, I'm not going to reread trivia I told you last week that was already out. Just skipping to the new things. This episode marks the first appearance of Skidmark since the episode End of the Line. Victor Strand found him at the Super Lanes where Virginia had sent the cat to take care of the rat infestation and returns him to Daniel's possession. Strand telling Daniel that Skidmark was just sitting around licking his unmentionables is likely a reference to the episode The Hurt That Will Happen, where Daniel dismisses Skidmark liking Strand because the cat licks his own ass. Daniel remarks that Skidmark hasn't changed at all after hearing Strand's comment. We are still in a commercial. The events of the episodes Shiva and Sleigh Ride are mentioned several times by Daniel in this episode. It's revealed that the city scene in the episode Alaska was, in fact, Dallas, Texas. Other cast members from last week, co-stars Corey Hart as Raleigh, Bobby Grace as Ranger Samuels. Okay, we're not quite back, so uncredited. Raja Afghani as Skidmark. Flynn O'Connor as a caravan survivor. Ken Edwards as an office survivor. Valley Town residents, Carmela Harper, Melissa Benson, Maxie Jin, Kayla Anderson, Ron Bonji, Morgan Brown, Mallory Thompson. Oh, the last two are Valley Town residents. And unknown as Rufus and unknown as Frankie. Walking Dead Universe Shop.com, by the way, and there was a 10% code, which I missed, but maybe Joan will find it before the end of the episode in case you guys want to buy any swag. No deaths last episode, which is kind of odd, and no goofs or bloopers reported. It's 9:43. We're probably going to go back soon, so let's see what I can do. Cast birthdays this week. There's not many, so let's get these out of the way. Max and Lentz, one of the siblings in the Lentz family, plays younger Henry. May 2nd, he's from Fargo, Georgia. Christopher Barry, who was Bud, a savior who steals the truck for Negan. May 3rd, I don't know where, but he's from Texas. And Zachary Brendan McGowan, who was Justin, the savior slacker in the episode The Bridge. His birthday will be May 5th, and he's from New York City. So happy birthday to you guys. Yay! Joan hasn't added any further comments. Are we back? Yes, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 5. Okay, guys, it's 9:53. We're at break number 5. Now I'm going to go up because somebody finally did something that they should have bloody been doing. Considering some of the fight scenes, especially with Alicia, in earlier seasons and episodes. I don't understand at all, guns or not, why they did not kick the shit out of everybody in the embalming room. They had five or six good fighters in there, and with all those guns, people are not going to shoot off too much because they're going to shoot each other. And so anyhow, Joseph, and we're back to a throwback to Carol burning the saviors on the killing floor. Well, you know what? I'm okay with that, though, actually, because that is something they should have bloody done a while ago. So I'm actually willing to go to 5-5 for this chunk of it. But y'all had to really work for that one, let me tell you. All right, let's go back to the notes. We don't have too much more, and it's about six. Well, this may go over because they've been doing that. But anyhow, last week, Handle With Care, as was mentioned in trivia, was named for the Traveling Wilburys, and that is a song that's played in the episode. It's one of the few times he did that. Daniel was playing with his records. So that is the featured music from last week. Not going to do Unaccounted For Characters. Not going to do The Couch because we don't have Talking Dead tonight until June 6th, episode 16, about which I'm super ticky. Why doesn't Chris Hardwick get to do Fear? Stupid, stupid, stupid. Stop that. All right, the back half of Fear season 6, episode 81 next week, In Dreams. Writer and director hasn't been announced. That's May 9th. The only thing that's been announced is episode 82/13 is called JD. I assume John Dory, but they didn't say that. So I'm not sure how it relates, but the director is Aisha Tyler. I don't know her work, so I'm not sure why they announced this so super early and nothing else, but that's May 16th. So if we assume everything else is working out, and this is a big if, it's 83:14 on the 23rd, 84:15 on the 30th, and ends with 85/16 on June 6th. And we are in commercials, but we have a trailer for something, so probably we're going back in a hot minute. Something with Scott Antz, based on the novel by Tom Clancy, so not sure what it is. Oh, it's Michael B. Jordan as a hero of some kind. Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. All right. And that's streaming on Amazon Prime Video. And we're back at a commercial for Rocket Mortgage. Let's see what else I got here. All right. Upcoming shows on NDB Media include Monday Night in America with Roger Noriega. 10 p.m. on Monday night, Eastern Time, Roger Noriega brings you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history. It's currently hosted on StreamYard, not on Blog Talk Radio. Fandom Access Week of Review, Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Join the lovable linguists Jamie Kieran and AJ as they dive into another night of television. I don't know what shows they're doing. They don't usually announce before I have been on the air, so I don't usually get a preview. Also on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. on StreamYard, The Nightmare Hunter, Roger Noriega, has moved that off of Monday nights to this, and that'll be the new series over on StreamYard as well. NDB Media's Facebook page has more details. Still in a car commercial, so let's keep going. The Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show. We are on hiatus for the 12th, so we will not be back until May 26th because Dr. Mathis is out of town in 2 weeks. 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday the 26th. Join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, a.k.a. The Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. Our upcoming topic is TBA, but I'll let you guys know. Travel Itch Radio, May 6th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. May 6th is not only the birthday of Willie Mays, but also the birthday of Dan Schlossberg, founder, host, and executive producer of Travel Itch Radio for the past 10 years. To mark the occasion, co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, Dan's longtime friend and colleague, will interview him about his 52-year journalism career. An award-winning author, writer, and broadcaster, Dan is the only American journalist who covers travel and baseball exclusively. The lifelong North Jersey resident and Syracuse University graduate has traveled the world, visited every major league ballpark, and won numerous awards for his work. Along the way, he founded the North American Travel Journalists Association, JA, 15 years as its president and served as president of the Working Press Association of New Jersey and member of Marquise Who's Who in the World. He also wrote 38 baseball books. And we're back. I'll see you guys at the end. Alrighty. Joan and I are both ending on 525. We're mostly more, you know, pretty close to the same page with this. Well, you know, I said 5-5 before. I should obey my own rules, so I'm going to leave it at 5-5. Sorry about that. Joan had commented, okay, they're all puzzled over how they knew about Morgan, but it could be as simple as Wes telling his brother about him. They acted like they knew Morgan before everybody got there. Yeah, I think it's the tapes. And I think they're upset about the whole, you know, take what you need, leave, take what you want, leave what you can or something. They're making a big mystery out of nothing again, possibly, yes. I think Alicia should have killed the guy in the embalming room, and she eventually did, but she took her sweet time about it. I don't know why Teddy needed extra time when that one guy was killed. He acted like it was somebody he knew above and beyond, like not just a cult member. So I assumed it was his son or something, but we didn't ever get that. They didn't say it. Joan said she didn't catch it. It's because he didn't say so. I'm just extrapolating. All right, so Joan's on 525. I'm at 5-5. And I have given you all of the shows coming up in NDB Media that I know about and everything else in my trivia. So thank you guys for this. Thank you not only to everyone who was joining us tonight, but also thanks to those of you who may be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special thanks to our host, NDB Media. We'll be joining, We hope you will be joining us next weekend. I know it's Mother's Day, but we're going to have another live watch party on the same network because we always do, and zombies don't respect their mommies. So please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode lengths. Same as always. See you guys next time. And thanks for everything. Good night.